gonna wake up one morning as the sun greets the dawn. You're gonna wake up one morning as the sun greets the dawn. You're gonna look around in your mind, girl. You're gonna find that I've gone home. You didn't realize. 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 Oh, you're gonna miss me, baby. Oh, you're gonna miss me, baby. Oh, you're gonna miss me, child. Yeah, yeah. I gave you the warning, but you never heeded it. How can you say you miss my loving when you never needed it? Yeah, yeah. Oh! You're gonna wake up wondering, find yourself all alone. But what's gonna stop you, baby? I'm not coming home. I'm not coming home. I'm not coming home. Oh! Oh!
Serious message to everybody watching my update right now.
One, two, three, four. You're fired. You're fired. Donald Trump. Yes!
We belong dead.
Success or failure, we all need our own personal survival kit to see us through. For me, it's feeding the ducks with my three grandchildren. Making chill-out music compilations. I own hundreds of chill-out CDs, and I've even made one of my own. Caned. The final blow came when we were shooting in the Len Film studio itself. I wanted to go for a pee, and they directed me to the toilet. I could smell it 50 yards away, and when I got there, I found the filthiest toilet I have ever seen in my life.
Living a nightmare.
I said.
No, your podcast is not my podcast. Your podcast is your podcast. My podcast is my podcast.
We've got a really great show for you tonight. Toots and the MGTOWs are here.
WWE's favorite band in the whole world, Limp Bizkit!
The sound go, bring that beat back, right? Remember when they said bring that beat back? Oh, that was funny. Oh, what's up, everybody? It's the best show here. On an off night, we are recording an episode of the show, and we are doing it the way we do it when we do it, because we do it to make sure we always do it, because you got to do the best show. Because you got to need the best show. What am I saying? It's the best show. What's up, everybody? This one is on and off night, not on the usual eve that they usually are, which is a Tuesday. But it's happening now. And that's all I can say to you. Is that we are here doing the show the way we do it. And the topic tonight we're going to talk about is those secret things that you wish you could always do? You think about it. What are those secret things you always wish you could do? You know, those things like, I mean, I've talked about it before in the past, my love of chimps. Well, not my love of chimps, my desire to, you know, one day just hang out with a chimp. You know what I mean? Just hang out with a chimp. Yeah, you get it. Just tell everybody we're doing a show. Typing as I'm doing it all. I'm the only one here. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. You should be excited because it is very exciting. Hello. Hi. Welcome to the best show. Hello. Hey. Typer. Hey, you typing. You can't hear me? Come on, typer. Hey.
Oh, hey.
I heard you typing for about 30 seconds there.
I apologize. I hit the call button, but I didn't put the speaker on this time. I made an error. I apologize, Tom.
That is all right. To whom am I speaking?
This is Woody in Rochester, New York.
Woody in Rochester, New York. Rochester now. Think about Rochester. Rochester's the garbage plate. Is that Rochester?
That's Rochester, home of the garbage plate.
Yeah. Now tell everybody who's not in Rochester what a garbage plate is.
All right, so a garbage plate is it's a pile of food that you get when you're drunk. It is a pile of two different kinds of starches, usually macaroni salad and French fries or home fries usually. Sometimes people go for baked beans. On top of that, you put two hot dogs or two hamburgers or cheeseburgers without buns. And then on top of that, go some chopped raw onions and mustard and something that they call hot sauce, which is ground beef that has been like simmered with spices and stuff in it, and that gets kind of spread on top.
And how do people eat it? Were they digging with a fork?
With a fork. Oh, and by the way, you also get two pieces of stale Italian bread on the side.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that part. You can't overlook the two pieces of stale Italian bread on the side that you're supposed to, like, scoop stuff up with?
A lot of people don't eat the bread. A lot of people eat half of it and then, you know, go throw up in the street or whatever. But
When's the last time you had one?
A few months ago, because people want them because they haven't been here before. A friend of mine was in from out of town.
So the strangers come to town, the tourists. And just like when they come to New York and they're like, I want to see 9/11. Take me to 9/11. And you got to take them to see a garbage plate.
Yep, you got to take them to get a garbage plate.
And what did you, were you just like, this is my heritage.
it's more like it's one of those pride / shame things where you're like, yeah, but this is, you know, we've got a regional, like, you've got to get behind it because it's all we have or something, and you got to act like you really love it, and even though it's literally just a pile. I mean, when they say garbage plate, they mean garbage plate. You're like, here's our pile of garbage, but it's our pile of garbage, so we're, you know, going to really act as though it's a delicacy. And
yeah,
I've definitely played the game, Tom, for Rochester.
You did it. You do it. You rep your backyard, man.
Yeah. What else can you do? You know, I mean, Kodak is practically non-existent anymore, so we can't brag about that. All we got left is our noble garbage plate.
You're reduced to something that's literally called a garbage plate.
Yeah, that's what they gave me, Tom. Unfortunately.
You're playing the hand you were dealt.
Yeah.
You're playing the hand you were dealt. So what, what led you to call the show tonight, my friend?
I saw your topic on Twitter.
Being
the secret, like a secret desire to do something in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would it be for you?
Well, I would say that I kind of tried to do it and it didn't work out. So I'm unsatisfied in this pursuit, and it was to and I realize it's real dumb, but I always wanted to like work at a record store. And be like one of those record store guys who like knows stuff.
You always wanted to work at a record store to be one of the like the know-it-alls.
There's two different categories of the record store know-it-all. I would say, like, there's the guy who's super condescending, and maybe he knows it all or whatever, but he certainly acts like he knows it all. And then there's like the person who just is like quietly there, and if you need something, you have a question, they're going to answer you, they're going to be nice, and they're going to turn you out of some stuff, and they, like, do it for the love and not just to feel superior.
Sure,
and I would hope I would be in the second category.
Well, let's try it on for size. Hi, I'm a customer now, okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Hi, can I ask you a question about music?
Sure.
I was looking for something that's kind of, like, I like a lot of rock stuff, like hard, like kind of heavy rock, maybe not metal, but like loud guitars and stuff. Like what, is there anything you can recommend?
All right, so not strictly metal. Do you like punk rock?
Yeah, I guess I do. But no, I don't love it. It's not my main thing, but yeah, I guess so.
Alright, you want something loud. Have you ever heard of would you say like you like more arty stuff? Or you like more sort of pop stuff?
What do you mean by arty? Like Artie Lang?
Like who?
Artie Lang?
Oh, yeah. I could show you our stand-up comedy section. You might get an album by Artie Lang. I meant like, do you like let me ask you this. Are you a fan of David Bowie?
Yeah.
All right. What do you think? What's like a David Bowie song you really like?
The one from Labyrinth.
The one from Labyrinth. Okay. You're looking for something heavy, but not like heavy metal. And you like the dance magic dance. Sorry,
the magic dance.
Magic dance. That's the song. The song from Labyrinth. I think it's called Magic Dance.
I thought it was called Underground.
Underground from Labyrinth with David Bowie.
Hey man,
you have more than one song on that soundtrack. Maybe you know more than me, friend.
Well, I'm a pretty big Labyrinth fan, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So you like, let's see here. So what would be, maybe you need, it sounds like maybe you need something, like a harder new wave. Maybe you'd like, maybe like a band called Sparks. Have you ever heard of Sparks?
What? No.
There's a band called Sparks. They've got some great albums. Really, just I would take something, you know, from their earlier period, the first few albums, and like from the '80s. Maybe you'd like that.
I don't know. Tell me.
Orchestral sounding.
Orchestral. What do you mean, like classical music? I don't like that.
No, more like just that it's precise and that their songs are kind of complex.
I don't know. This sounds too complicated.
I mean, it was just one band that I was recommending. If you do think you like punk music and you like something that's a little heavier or I don't know, something that's a little more interesting. Have you ever thought of the Minutemen? You ever heard the Minutemen?
What? No, I don't know what that is. I don't think so.
Okay, well, the Minutemen, that's a trio, and they played kind of, they were during the punk rock era, but they kind of played a kind of almost like a jazzy classic rock, but their songs are really
jazz. I don't like jazz. You know what? I actually do have a list of some of the stuff a friend recommended who
likes a lot of this college music or whatever. Hold on. Let me pull this list out. All right, get on the floor. Get on the floor. This is a gun.
What?
You get on the floor. This is a stick up.
I'm on the floor.
What's the? Well, I got to open the register. It's not opening.
You just turn the little key. There's a little key right in the drawer. Just turn the key, and the drawer pops right open.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, it's open. This is all the money you got in here? Where's the safe? Where's the safe? There's got to be a safe in this place.
There's a safe. There's no deposit in it right now. I think there might be $50 in ones. I could take you to the safe. Would you like to go to the safe?
Yeah, take me to the safe.
All right. Well, let's go. It's right over here, right in the little office. I'll go ahead and I'll open it up for you. You can take whatever you want.
Okay. Hey, what's that? I'm taking all this money. There's still not a whole lot in here.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a
get on the floor. Get on the floor. I don't want to hear your excuses.
Get on the floor.
Put this queen poster over your face. You didn't see me. And count to 100. Yeah.
I have no idea. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right, that's enough.
9.
You counted enough. 10. That's all right. That's enough. You made it. You made it through a stick up.
That's what you're lying about here, Todd.
You just give them what they want.
Yeah, well, that's what else can you do? I'm not going to
be a hero at a record store
for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just pulling in a paycheck here, you know. I'm not trying to die so that we can, you know, so this guy doesn't, you know, steal one of our LPs off the wall.
Yeah. Good for you. You handled that correctly. Well, look,
Thank you. You
just got a little taste of working at a record store. Good for you. You did it.
Well, that's pretty good. I feel like maybe I don't need to make even less money by working at a record store.
You might have just done it. And then you would have gotten fired. The boss would have fired you for taking him to the safe. So you made out all right.
I got away with my life.
You did it. Exactly. You're alive. That's all that matters. All right, you take care.
Thank you.
Beshel, hi.
Hey, I was calling about the topic, something I always wanted to do.
Yeah, who's this?
My name is Rich from Teaneck.
From Teaneck. What's going on in Teaneck tonight, Rich?
Well, not much in Teaneck per se, but I'm hanging out, watching the Champions League final replay, and wanted to call and say how much, there's something I wanted to do.
What's the Champions League now? What is that?
That's a soccer tournament.
The soccer tournament. And who plays in that?
Today it was Liverpool and Tottenham Hotspur.
Uh-huh. I've heard of Tottenham Hotspur because that's like a thing that, like, that's a big team, right? A big club.
Yeah, they're a big team, but I would hope you've heard of Liverpool.
Well, I've heard of the city, but not so much as a football team.
Yeah, well, they won the Champions League today.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Kudos to the people of Liverpool.
I'm sure they're
championship.
Very, very happy.
Yeah, they did it. They watched other people win a game.
Their team's laundry won. They exactly. rooted for the right color shirts.
Yes, they did it. Congratulations, Liverpool.
Yeah, I support neither team. I'm just watching as a neutral fan.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I figured as much. So what is something you always wanted to do? What is something you always wanted to do?
I always wanted to write a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would the book be about?
Well, I've been thinking about it lately, and I've been thinking about how much the New York Knicks disappoint me in life and how I need to get over that. Sort of like a self-help book.
Uh-huh. Like a thing to just guide you through your own frustration or other people's. Well, because you need it for yourself. It sounds like you need.
Yeah,
you sounds like you need somebody else's book.
Well, it would be a cathartic sort of release for me to go through the many ways the Knicks have disappointed me and continue to disappoint me.
So for for people who don't know, the New York Knicks, the basketball team, they're terrible, and they've always been terrible just about at this point, and they never stop being terrible, and they find new ways to be terrible, and then you get teased, and you think they're going to finally not be terrible, but then they're terrible again, and they're always terrible.
Yeah, it's like you're writing my book for me.
It's bad news, man.
Well, I'm thinking that I can help other sports fans maybe just avoid this sort of, I don't know what it is, a bad life path.
Sure. What would you say? What would be a chapter of your book?
Ooh, well, one is, find a team with a better owner who won't continuously, let you down, disappoint you.
Sure.
Find a collection of players who can compete at the NBA level, because right now the Knicks just really struggling there.
Mm-hmm.
And, learn to let go, because I've been a Knicks fan since I was born, 50 years. You got to just maybe cut the cord and go Brooklyn Nets at some point. I mean, it's a chapter. It might not be the truth, but...
You might have to. You might have to jump ship, man. But then you know what's going to happen. You're going to jump ship, and then they're going to get good.
And then they're going to win.
And you're going to look stupid.
And I will probably look stupid. But hopefully my book has helped people.
You'd always be a secret fan, wouldn't you?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
I'll always be a Knicks fan. Yeah, there's no doubt, and it's in your blood. The new guys come along, and they've got shinier new things, and maybe they're exciting, and you want to go to them, but your heart's with the team that you grew up with, and you got to go there, but.
Well,
to disappoint.
Well, why don't you write a book then? Write it. Why don't you at least do it in pieces? Post it online.
That's not a bad idea.
Get it out there, man. What are you waiting for? You got people to help.
Thanks, Tom. You're making me feel better already.
Good, good. That's what I do. How bad do you think they're going to be this year, though? They're going to be bad again.
I don't think they're going to be good.
They're going to draft what's-his-face from Duke.
Kid from Duke.
Yeah,
but you know what? I worry that they're putting all their eggs in the free agent basket. They're saying they're going to get KD or Kyrie or somebody like that.
Why would a good player come to the worst team in the NBA? Just because it's in New York? What?
Well, that's the myth, is it's come play in New York. It's the world's most famous arena.
It's not the 80s anymore.
I agree, man.
Those days are dead.
I agree.
All right, man.
So that's my book.
All right, do it.
Thanks,
Tom. Bye. Best show, hi.
Hey there.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is Scott. How are you doing tonight, Tom?
I'm all right, Scott. What's going on?
I have one for the topic, if you don't mind.
I would like to hear it. Where are you again, Scott?
Oh, gosh. I didn't say. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. Home of? You can say. What band?
The Black Lips.
There you go.
McKeel.
Black Carbonas. Lips, Black Lips, Carbonas and Black Lips shows you're walking the walk.
I do my best.
No, you're doing all right. You're doing all right. So what's something, first of all, what are your plans for the summer?
My plans for the summer, my son and I are going to Philadelphia this Thursday, and we're going to go see the Phillies play the Reds and go to Eastern State Penitentiary.
Yeah.
And eat drink water ice, and we're going to visit Wawa, which we've never done before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think that's our Philadelphia trip. We're going to go to L.A. Mm-hmm. as well.
What are you going to do with the other, how long are you in Philly?
We're in Philly for 4 days.
Yeah, what you just said right there is 5 hours. I don't know what to tell you. You're going to go to a baseball game, that's 3 hours. You go to prison, that's an hour and a half. Then you go to Wawa, that's 10 minutes. And then you're going to go get some water ice, that's 5 minutes. Yeah, you have to fill 3 3/4 of days with this. I don't know what you were thinking. Were you going to stare at the Liberty Bell and the Rocky statue also?
I think we're going to spend a lot of time at the Rocky statue.
Fair amount of time. The Rocky statue is in front of a museum, by the way. You know, there's actual things in that, up those stairs. I don't think Rocky ever knew what was... He ran up those steps. He didn't know that some of the world's most beautiful art was inside that building. He thought it was just for training purposes.
Yeah. I don't know. We hadn't planned on the museum. I think we were going to just take the Rocky thing and just look at the statue and do the steps. And that was about the extent of it. But I suppose we should take advantage of it all while we're there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other things you can do. There's the Nutter Museum. Is that what it's called?
We're going to that. Okay. We're going to do that. And then I think we're going to go to the Philadelphia Record Exchange.
Sure, that's a good thing. Tell them that we say hi on the best show.
I will see. I will do that. And then I think we're going to look for the... Well, I'm going to look. He's going to be super bored. I'm going to look for the apartment house where Sun Ra lived.
Okay.
In the 70s. And then...
the late, great Sonny Blunt.
Yes. Yes. From Birmingham, Alabama.
Then made it up to Philadelphia.
Made it to Philadelphia. And then I think we're going to probably have another water ice. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to eat a cannoli.
Yeah.
So, I think maybe that's everything. Independence Hall.
You're filling it up. You're doing all right. You're doing all right, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but Philadelphia, and then later this summer we're going to go to Los Angeles and Joshua Tree. So lots of traveling this summer.
Yeah.
Big busy summer.
Yeah, you and your son going to go out there and drop acid. And I don't even know how old your son is. I'm assuming it doesn't matter if your son is 37. That'd still be some kind of thing. Now you go and you stare at it, right?
Yeah. We're gonna have we have a tiny house in the middle of the desert.
Okay.
We're gonna be in a tiny house with no light, looking at the stars and surrounded by desert wildlife. It's going to be really weird.
Yeah, you can see the stars. You see the stars like nobody's business when you're out there. Those are some clear skies.
Yeah, we're pretty stoked about
you
that.
You look at those skies, you see satellites up there.
It's stuff moving. Like, I'm not used to that here in Atlanta, seeing stars and things in the sky. I see weird light from the city.
Yeah, I ain't seeing that in New Jersey either. But you go and you look at the sky out there, you'll see some stuff.
We are looking forward to that. So, yeah.
So you got a good summer. You got a good summer plan. So what, anything for this topic? Anything?
Yeah. So something I've always wanted to do, there's a couple of things, and they all sort of come from the motion picture Smokey and the Bandit. Ever since I was a little boy, I've always wanted to drive an 18-wheeler over like 10 or 12 motorcycles parked.
Yeah, this is
parking
a
lot.
This is exactly you. You, what is your name again?
Scott.
Scott. Scott, have we ever met before, Scott?
I've called into the show, but I've never met you. You signed a record for me. Someone in Nashville bought a record, and you signed a record for me.
Okay.
I've never met you, no.
Well, I'm going to say this. We know each other, though, because that is exactly the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You watch Smokey and the Bandit, You want to drive a tractor trailer. First of all, have you ever driven a tractor trailer?
No, not at all.
Okay. So you want to drive a tractor trailer, but just picture this. You drive it, right? You drive the tractor trailer. You kind of get a feel for that, right?
Yeah.
Then you're ready. You're already ready to drive that thing over the top of a bunch of motorcycles like Jerry Reed did in Smokey and the Bandit. You're not satisfied just driving an 18-wheeler.
No.
You want to drive that thing over a pile of motorcycles.
Yeah. And I think I need to also get beaten up before I do it, just to feel the entire thing. I need that experience, I think.
Yeah, you want to get beaten up before it, so that way it's coming from some revenge.
Righteous indignation. Yeah, and revenge. Like, I just get them back. Might be one of my favorite things in the movies ever. But see.
Yeah, I hear you. You want to get back. You want to get back at them.
Yeah.
At these bikers who just, they thrashed you.
Yeah. Right? They thrashed me. They insulted my dog.
Yeah.
Threw me out of a diner. That's not cool.
No. Then you want it's payback time. Because somebody's in their tractor trailer. And somebody's going to drive it over the top of their motorcycles.
Yeah. And just push the motorcycles down the road and finally just bust over that last one.
Yeah, you're sick. You're a sicko. But I understand it. Couldn't understand it more. You're a weird dude. Yeah. You're a weird dude, but I get it completely. I would probably pick almost exactly what you just picked.
Well, that makes me very happy. Thanks, Tom.
All right, buddy. You have a good night.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. I understand that guy, man. That makes sense. Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is Eric in San Jose.
Eric in San Jose. What's going on, Eric?
Well, not much. Just finished dinner outside and having a bottle of wine.
What's the weather like there?
Oh, it's nice. It's about 80 degrees, no breeze.
San Jose, you say?
Yes, sir.
You tell me now. Tell me. Who is famous from San Jose?
The band Duster.
Which band?
Duster.
Duster.
They just had the Numero re-release.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man.
You don't know about it?
Nah. Duster. I don't know Duster. Should I? Is Duster good?
Yeah, I think you might like it.
All right, I'll check Duster out.
It's on the Numero label.
All right, yeah. They put our box set out.
Yeah.
And then they took it out of print.
Well, I know. I mean, I wish I had a copy of that.
Yeah,
box,
man. Who knows why? Who knows why? You work for it's a lifetime's work, and then they take it out of print.
Yeah, well, it's a bummer. I mean, I know that, you know, I could get one on eBay if I had to get one, but I mean,
it's one of the mysteries of the universe, man. I'll never figure that one out.
Yeah.
Isn't Claire O'Kane from San Jose?
I don't know. I mean, I know she was on your show, what was it, last week?
Last week, yeah. I believe she's from San Jose.
Really?
I think so. Okay. So tell me.
I mean, Yeah.
Got it. It's a what?
It's a town of about, you know, a million people, so.
Mm-hmm. So someone's got to be from there.
Yeah. There's a lot of people in San Jose.
You're just playing the odds.
Somebody's got to be from here.
So what is a thing that you would like to do, like a secret thing you wish you had done in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the question on Twitter, and I mean, I was thinking about it. I mean, I guess it would be like opening up an antique store or like a junk shop or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's too mundane.
No. That it's whatever you wanted. It's your life. If that is exciting to you, that's all that matters.
Okay. Yeah. I mean that's something I would like to have done.
An antique shop that you just sell. What kind of stuff would you sell?
I mean, I would like to, you know, like curiosities and, you know, all kinds of little knickknacks. I mean, I got tons of artwork and tons of stuff, and I wish I could just sell it. I mean, I wish I had a storefront, and I wish I could just sell it.
Yeah, I gotcha. And then, but what? So you'd have it, and then you'd Okay, let's test this out. You working at the the thing?
Sure.
Bing-a-ling. That's the door. That's the bell you have hanging over the door. Hello.
All right. Hey. How can I help you?
Basically, I am looking for a gift for a friend of mine.
Is your friend a female or a guy?
Get on the floor. It's a robbery. This gun's real. Get on the floor.
All right. Yes.
Give me the keys to the register.
Take them, please.
Where's all the money? This isn't. Where's your gold? You got some gold in here. I know it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have this little square keypad
on my iPhone. And then you get punched. Where's the safe?
It's under the register.
It's under the register. What's the combination?
It's
open already. It's open. Look, it's open. You didn't even lock your own safe. What kind of? Why would you even have a safe? You didn't even lock it. This is all you got in the safe?
There should be a little bit of money in there.
Yeah. Okay. Here, I got some. What's the most valuable thing in this garbage dump?
maybe a piece of jewelry somewhere. I don't know.
Give me the jewelry. Give me the jewelry. Don't look at my face.
But what's that stocking you have on your face?
Don't look at my face.
You have some stocking.
Give me that jewelry.
But take it, please. Take the jewelry.
Get on the floor and count to 100.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. Are you done, Tom? Yeah, we're done. I'm going to just tell you a funny thing since you can't hear the show live.
Yeah.
You're the second person I've done that to. Someone else wanted to work at a record store, and about 20 minutes ago, they got robbed.
Man, you're like, it reminds me of Michael Scott in The Office, where he, every time he was doing improv, he had a gun.
I hope every call for the rest of this show is somebody wanting to work a store. I'm going to rob every single one of them.
That sounds like the road to riches. You're on your way.
Yeah.
It's a great plan.
Yeah. So you would want to just sell the kind of stuff you have around and
yeah.
Well, look, why don't you dip your toes in it and do it on weekends or something?
I'm doing it on eBay a little bit here and there, but I mean, you know, life, corporate job, that kind of stuff.
Sure, no, I got you. There's only so many hours in the day. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't want to be on the computer after you've been on the computer all day. Yeah.
Exactly. I get you.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you do it on eBay. Who knows where the future takes you? Who knows where?
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Well, you have a great
day. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, bye. That's really, I hope every one of these calls is somebody wanting to do a business. Best show, hi.
Oh, Tom?
Yes.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Celia in Brooklyn.
Celia?
Yes.
Celia or Cecilia?
It's both, really, but okay. I go by Celia.
Okay, well, then you shall be called Celia.
Thank you.
How are you tonight, Celia?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Doing okay. What's going on in Brooklyn?
I'm just hanging out, which is the usual answer, I feel like, for people.
Yeah, you're just hanging out. You walk around today? Nice day?
I did. I did walk around a little bit, yeah. A lot of dogs out.
Now, do you think it's, what's your policy? Do you have a dog of your own?
I wish. No, I don't.
Do you try to pet people's dogs?
I do.
And do they let you?
Some of them. I mean, most of them.
Yeah. But you don't get down there and put your face next to the dog, right?
No, I ask. I ask, can I pet your dog? And usually it's a yes.
Yeah, but you should just pet you got to watch out with the, you shouldn't put your face next to the dog.
No, never put your face next to someone else's dog unless
okay.
you know them well.
That's all I wanted to say was because it's the kind of thing that you don't know. It's not you don't know the dog. You don't know if something's going to spook the dog.
You don't want to frighten the dog and get bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you pet some dogs today. What is something, Celia? Do you have something for this topic?
Yes. The topic is something that you want to do, but you can't necessarily do. What's the topic? I'm sorry.
It's like the secret thing you always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like the way okay. I had talked about wanting to hang out with a chimp.
Okay. This is not the same.
Okay. I would hope it's.
I would really like to go to a movie theater and just order like one of everything.
And you mean at the concession stand?
Yes.
Now, are you talking, when you say movie theater, do you mean the kind of movie theater now where they have pizza pies and
okay.
and chicken fingers?
I'm thinking like just like old school, like bonbons, snow caps, popcorn, M&M's.
This is a very
maybe the cookie dough.
This is a very doable.
But it's expensive. It's not very doable. It's very expensive.
You just want to go up and say one of everything, please.
Yes. And I need people to like help me carry it to my seat.
Yeah. And it's going to be like, because there's going to be like, it'll still be like $80.
Maybe more.
Yeah, maybe like $110.
Yeah, too much money.
Yeah, that's pretty pricey, because that's the kind of stuff if you went to Walgreens, you could probably get the same thing for like $14.
Yeah, I should probably just get a like big purse with like a cooler in it for the bonbons.
Why don't you do that? Why don't you do your version of it? I went to the movies, and there was a woman sitting next to me. This is something. Mm-hmm. This is one of my pet peeves, Celia. When I'm at the movies, I don't want to smell any food that is not movie food.
Yeah, that's fair.
That is fair, right?
Yes.
Thank you. I thought it was, and I never gave it a whole lot of thought. I don't want to smell stuff that smells like it's from somewhere other than the movies.
Like a Wawa hoagie or like...
Yeah. And I smelled like some sort of salad dressing. And then I look over, and she's chomping away on something from Panera Bread.
Yeah, that's not okay.
No, it wasn't. I didn't like it. It wasn't the end of the world. I'm not saying
it's non-diegetic.
Thank you. That is who to you. Now let's get this straight: diegetic or diegetic?
Well, are we diabetic or are we diabetic? I don't know.
Okay, so when you're watching a movie and there is diegetic sound. That is sound that takes place
within the film.
Within the world of the film.
Yes.
Like it would be music playing from a radio.
Exactly.
But non-diegetic music would be the soundtrack to the movie.
Yes.
Things
that the protagonist doesn't hear.
Yes. Things that the filmmaker is putting on top of the movie for cinematic purposes.
Yes.
Who to you is, you know who I think the master of diegetic sound is?
Oh, who?
I think it's Kelly Reichardt.
Oh, interesting.
Do you know her movies?
Yes.
Because they're usually
she's so, wonderful.
They're so quiet.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. She does not dump a big score on top of those things.
No, she knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah. She might be the best.
She's pretty great. Yeah.
That last
that
movie.
That was a very interesting choice. It was not who I thought you were going to say.
Who did you think I was going to say?
I don't know.
Kubrick.
Probably.
No, I think, because does anybody make more like movies that are just embracing what is actually there than Kelly Riker?
Well, Richard Linklater.
Sure, that's a good one, but I feel like her thing, like, exists for that. Like, it's almost one of her things, is that.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I'm sure he's got scores on his thing. But, no, like Dazed and Confused, for example. That's all...
Amazing.
Like it's stuff playing from radios. I'm not...
It drives the film. The music drives the whole movie, and it's, like, the soundtrack for what the children are listening to, and...
Yeah.
What you're actually enjoying, so.
Now, is all the music, Celia, is all the music in that diegetic? I can't remember.
I feel like most of it is, but probably not all of it.
I'm sure Sweet Emotion at the end of it, unless it's playing in the car when they're driving to go get
the ticket. At the beginning?
Oh, it's in the beginning. What's the last song, the final thing when they're going to get their Aerosmith tickets?
Oh.
Right?
I think I think that's the beginning. I think that's the start and the finish of the film.
Okay, there we see. We're piecing it together.
It's been a while.
When's the last time you saw that movie? I watched it a few months ago.
I probably saw it a few months ago too. I try to watch it like maybe once or twice a year.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite movies.
I guess it would have to be one of my favorite movies, even if I didn't think about it. It just ends up there.
Yeah, it's just very, always an enjoyable watch, I feel like.
And did you hear, I've talked about it on the show before, I don't know, that one kid I hate so much.
I know you, I've heard this.
I hate that kid's face. Not these, like, I shouldn't say I hate his face, that's not nice. But
he grabs his eyebrows a lot.
Because the one kid is starting to get some traction going with the young lady. And he comes, he humiliates him. Well, I don't see him smooching nobody. And his friend is starting to smooch somebody. And then he comes and he talks to that kid as if he knows more about smooching than the kid who he just watched. Right?
That's true, but...
Oh, that drives me up the wall.
Is that before or after he gets the beer? I can't remember.
When he throws the beer in the air and it shatters in the street, what a jerk. Because then you always wondered as through your life when you're walking down the street, you're like, how did that get there? You ever have that feeling? How did that get there?
Smashed beer?
Yeah, you just look. It's just like in the middle of the road, smashed beer. Somebody threw
every day of my life in New York City.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's in New York City. You know how it got there. Some New Yorker did it. Yeah. And then he doesn't even get paddled. He runs in the house.
Yeah.
His mom pulls a shotgun on Banyan.
Mm-hmm.
He never gets paddled. And he gets a dump paint on Ben Affleck's head.
Yeah. By the way, I feel like Mad Men stole that shotgun moment from Dazed and Confused.
There's a thing in Mad Men that has that?
Oh, with Betty Draper.
Okay.
She pulls a shotgun on like a bird or something. I don't know.
I stopped watching Mad Men a few episodes in. I was like, this is the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
I did as well. I revisited it recently, and it's amazing, actually. When you can binge it, it's very good.
I was at a point where I was just like, I cannot handle this level of... This level of bleakness right now in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Celia.
Tom.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. I'm a first time, long time.
Well, I'm going to say this.
So this is great.
For a first time caller, you just put on a how to. This is a how to.
I'm so glad.
All right, Celia, I will talk to you soon. You call anytime you want. Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, bye. See, that's how you do it. Celia gets it. Celia gets it. Best show. Hello.
Hey, Tom, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Who's this?
This is Brian from Northwest Arkansas.
Brian from Northwest Arkansas. What's going on in Northwest Arkansas? Let me think. Northwest Arkansas borders what now? Tennessee?
No, that would be the eastern side of Arkansas.
So hold on. So let me get I'm going to get this right.
Okay.
And I'm not looking at a map right now.
Yep, no cheating.
Arkansas connects with Texas and Oklahoma.
Those are both correct.
Texas, Oklahoma, then Louisiana.
That is correct.
And then probably Mississippi.
That is correct.
And then if you go around it, Mississippi, then you're talking about, and then Tennessee.
Correct.
Did I get all the states?
Absolutely not.
No, there's one more. So then if there's one more, it would be Alabama.
Sorry, Tom.
Well, no, there's too much space between there. No, Tennessee. Man, what is it?
So you're missing the one directly to the north that I actually live closest to. I am only like 14 miles from the state of Missouri.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Yes. I got everyone but that one. That's not bad.
No, that was actually really good. A lot of people wouldn't have gotten Louisiana or Mississippi because it's, you know, not a large portion of Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's Arkansas.
Yeah. But it's like Oklahoma is on to the west of you.
Correct. Yep.
As is Texas, which is below Oklahoma.
Yeah, so Texas is more to the south.
Yes. But it's still to the west of the, it's like, it's, that's, it's, yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Missouri. You're right.
But I like talking about states. I've actually lived, Arkansas is the 10th state I have lived in.
Really? What other states have you lived in?
Oh boy. So we got Massachusetts. We've got New York. We have Alaska, Oregon, Hawaii, Florida, Virginia, Washington, Texas, and now Arkansas.
Wow, you got there's some big swings in there, Hawaii and Alaska.
So the only reason I have those is because my father, who was actually born in Manhattan, and he grew up in your neck of the woods in Ridgewood in Bergen County.
Yeah,
he was in the Coast Guard.
Okay. So he took.
So as a youth, every 3-4 years,
you're
pack
moving.
It up.
Yeah,
head new. And I actually lived in a really weird part of New York City that I don't know if you've ever met anyone that's lived there before.
What's that?
Governor's Island.
Governor's Island. I got lost on Governor's Island walking around Governor's Island after a rock concert. I was lost for almost 2 hours, and I think I technically lived there after that.
It's so weird now. I went and visited it recently because, you know, I lived there from 1984 to 1987.
Yeah.
From the ages of 6 to 9, you know, and we lived in like a 10-story apartment built, had like a 5-bedroom apartment, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a really weird but really cool place to live.
And that is where Spider-Man, fought in the first Spider-Man movie, right?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen that one.
Where do those cars go to? Those cable cars, not cable cars. You know, the sky things.
The sk- sky things.
I don't know about the sky.
I know about the fairies. I don't know about the sky things.
You know, the thing where you get it from Manhattan and it goes up and you, it's like on a cable.
Hmm.
Does that go to Governor's Island?
I don't think so. It might. I've only been out there once, and it was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
But I took the boat.
Okay, you took the boat. I'm pretty sure Spider-Man fought on one of those.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
Yeah. So to what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, I wanted to say hello and also chime in on the topic.
Okay. What do you have for the topic?
Okay, so something I've always wanted to do. I'm a big fan of your favorite sport, baseball.
Yeah, my favorite.
So I've always wanted to go to a game with, you know, 4 or 5 people, right? Like friends, family members. So I'm a pretty mild-mannered fellow, right?
Okay.
I want to go to Citi Field, right? I'm a big Mets fan.
Okay.
Get some seats. You know, right on the first baseline.
Yeah.
You know, maybe down there, like where the ball person is, you know, down along there, kind of halfway up, right?
Okay.
And then in the middle of the game, you know, having fun with family and friends, chatting, having a good time, I just want to leap over and run in the middle of the field during the game.
Yeah, see, this is, you understand this topic. You understand,
now,
not that you would ever do that.
Correct.
But you just want to know what that, because you know you can, you're there.
Yes.
And you're just like, all I got to do.
You feel the urge.
Yeah. All I got to do is do this.
Right. There's like a security guy, but he's like 30 feet away.
Yeah. You're so close to doing it.
Now, I'm not a very fast man. Mm-hmm. I may not be in the greatest shape of my life. But, you know, I want to get out there, duck and dodge, see how long I can last.
Oh, you're doomed. You're doomed. Because, first of all, a player is going to punch your lights out. Because they're going to,
okay.
They don't know what your deal is.
Well, but see, I thought about that. I'm not going to be one of those weirdos that goes near the players. I don't want them to feel like I'm a threat. So I'm just, you know, say it's like, the seventh inning stretch, you know, the game's not even going on, but the players are like coming out for the next inning.
Sure.
Jump out there, you know, see, it's kind of like riding.
Are you drunk? Are you drunk when you do this, or you want to be sober when you do this?
You know.
You want to have a little buzz, probably, right?
Yeah, a little buzz.
Like,
and I think,
3 beers.
Yes. And I think part of the great part of it would be, you know, the family and friends reaction, because I wouldn't say a word to them.
Yeah.
So what we're just sitting there having a good time.
What if you just said, watch this, and that's the only thing you say to them? And they're like, what? Watch what? And then you just jump onto the field.
Absolutely.
And you're running, you want them to be ducking and trying to grab you, and you do like...
Yeah.
You want to get 2 good swerves in.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not saying I want to be a glory boy and, like, make it all the way across the field, because that's not happening.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. I think 2 good swerves and then try and get into a position where I don't just get completely violently smashed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe just taken down fairly gently.
Yeah, but then they're going to beat you to a pulp once you're out of once you're out of sight. When you're in the hallway, they're gonna clobber you.
Take me to Citi Field jail.
Oh yeah, yeah. You might trip a couple times before you end up in the thing. Yeah, he kept falling down.
Now, what if I did that wearing a Massa's T-shirt?
Well, that would be, yeah. What do you think? I'm going to give you something for that? You got to talk to them.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to encourage this.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously.
First of all, you're never doing this. You're never doing this.
No. You're absolutely right. There's no timeline, alternate universe where this would actually ever happen. You're right.
No, you're not doing it. And you know it. I know it.
Yep.
But Look, I can tell you this. I went to Saturday Night Live. First time I ever went up there. Actually, second time I went up there. And Death Cab for Cutie was the band, right? Mm-hmm. And they're playing, and I didn't know them yet. I know I'm friends with those guys and I love them, and Ben's one of the nicest people out there. So, but then I didn't know him at this point. So I'm with someone in the cast, was all I'm going to say. And he says, let's go watch the band. Let's get in there. So he leads me down the hall through that, like where there's like the changing area in through the studio audience, like to where we're on the edge of the studio audience and we're watching the band play. And all I could think of was running on the stage. While they're playing, I'm like, because I was like 25 feet away. I'm like, I'm like, if I ran on this thing and punched, and he turned out to, he's a friend of mine. He's a real life friend,
right?
But I'm just like, if I jumped on this stage and punched him out, I would be legendary. I would be in the history books.
Wow!
Right.
Absolutely.
And I was just standing there thinking of it, just like,
right,
man. But it's like, but it's that thing. Of course, you're just like, of course, I'm never going to do this. I'm not an idiot.
Now, when you're back there, do they just kind of trust that everyone that's gotten to that point is not a psychopath?
Yeah, everybody's not, like, supposed to be there. Guards. Yeah. Oh yeah, right. that's a hard building to get into.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a hard building to get into. But, yeah, I get it. I get what your goal was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one you're just going to keep in your mind, though.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, buddy.
Thank you, Tom.
I'll talk to you soon. Man, that's a good guy. That guy gets it. Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Chris from Portland.
Chris from Portland. Do I know this Chris?
Yes.
Is this a rock star?
That's me.
You're in the rock, you're in the eyelids.
The what?
What band are you in?
No. I'm the comic book one.
Oh, okay. Then you're a different kind. Yeah. You're the guy who just ate a pot cookie.
Oh, yeah.
You just tweeted
about
it.
And I'm calling you.
Yeah.
So.
I saw you tweeted about, this is the guy, for people who don't remember, who lived in the Clown Motel for a month. True, right?
Mm-hmm. True.
And he's out and about now. He's now Mr. Comic Book Guy. He's blown up now. He's like, he's hot stuff in the comic book biz. He has this one comic book called what? What's the comic book called?
Crowded.
Very good. I like Crowded. What
I
else?
I put your pull quote on the back of the trade.
Very nice. Wouldn't kill you to send me a copy.
I'm putting together a
wouldn't
package.
Wouldn't kill you. Wouldn't kill you.
I swear to God, I'm putting together a package.
Wouldn't kill you to send one.
Multiple books are coming your way.
All right. And what
including
other books?
One with Kiss. So.
So what are the other titles you are responsible for? Christopher. XTOP,
yes.
Right? Is that what you are on?
Correct. On Twitter.com, yes.
Which I just got right now.
What?
What that is. It's part of Christopher.
Oh, yeah. I wrote a book called Shanghai Red. I do a book called Heartthrob. I have two new books coming out next month. One's called Test and the other's called Trustfall. And then I have a bunch of other stuff I'm working on that I don't know where it's going to go.
How is Portland? How are you enjoying Portland?
Yeah, it's all right. This summer is okay so far. It's not horrible yet, but it will be.
When it gets horrible, you mean it gets wet, muggy?
Just hot, hotter than Portland isn't, like Portland was built with, no heat and no snow in mind.
Okay.
So climate change means like everybody here is having to adjust to like both of those coming back.
Okay. A lot of mosquitoes?
Decent amount. I mean, the biggest problem is like like there's not a good air conditioning infrastructure in Portland.
Okay.
And my windows all open sideways, which are just like, I think you have to pay like $400 extra for an air conditioner just to get it to fit in a sideways window.
Okay. That stinks. I'm sorry.
It's not great.
No. Yeah.
But I had something
for the
topic.
You can't afford that.
What?
You can't afford that because you're going to have to spend all your money sending me the books should have sent
yeah.
me. Now go ahead with this. Because the topic is the secret thing you wish you had could do or that you had done in your life.
Yeah. And mine's pretty minor and I guess I could still do it. But it's to pick up a hitchhiker.
Pick up a hitchhiker.
Like, yeah, but I'm too scared of it because I grew up watching horror movies.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever I do see a hitchhiker, which you don't mm-hmm. see a lot of them, I always think, like, well, that person could stab me, or that person will probably stab me. So, like, I've never had the gumption to pull over and pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. Let's talk this through now.
All right.
You're driving along. You'll play you.
Okay.
You see me, thumb out. You pull over. I open the I stick my head in the passenger window. And what do you say?
Where are you going to?
Just to try to make my way up to Seattle.
Yeah, I can give you a ride part of the way there.
Yeah, cool. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Sure.
Now we're driving, right?
Yeah.
Now what do you say? What do you say?
You know, I'd probably like, what's taking you to Seattle?
Oh, well, what's taking me to Seattle is your car! And then I kick you out. And then you roll
yeah.
down the street.
Uh-huh.
And you watch.
Watch my car drive away.
Yeah, you watch the hitchhiker drive your car away. And to be fair, he answered the question completely with complete accuracy. You said.
Yeah, that would be even worse, I think.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer to get tricked.
What's taking you to Seattle? Your car. Why is that so funny? I don't know. But then all of a sudden it stopped. You're like, what do you yell when you see the car drive off?
Probably a curse word.
Okay. And then suddenly, brake lights stop.
I don't know what I do then. Yeah, that's a...
Then the car
That's a tightrope moment.
Then the car turns around. And now it's like, what do you do now? What do you do now?
Stick my thumb out.
The car, your own car is coming after you now. You're getting chased by your own car down the road.
No, I mean,
and there's like railings too. There's like guardrails so you can't get off the road. There's every spot. If you potentially could get clipped by this car.
I guess I just bite it then? I don't know. I panic and freeze, and then I guess he runs me over.
Jump up. Jump.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
You just try to time your jump so you jump onto your own car.
Sure. And then I pop the rear open, slide in, kick him out.
Yeah. Then he's in
the road.
This
is a lot easier than I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Then he's in the road, and he yells a curse at you, which really bugs you for some reason. So you know what you do? You turn back around. You're gonna mow him down.
Mm-hmm.
But then you know what happens? He jumps. And he gets you out of your own car again.
And this is just how we spend the rest of our lives.
Pretty much. And people start watching this, and it becomes just like a spectacle of the two guys who are surprisingly good at jumping on the roof of a car.
But not good at letting go of grudges.
No. No, they can't let go of grudges. They just can't do it. So what's going on? What else is, what's up? You see any good movies?
No. I'm waiting to see John Wick, number 3. Yeah, no, I'm just hanging out with my dog, and,
You're hanging out with your dog?
Yeah, that's about all I need.
Okay. That's a good group. Right? You, the dog, and that dog, you got a cool looking dog. What's that dog's name again?
Zola?
Zola. It's a pit bull.
Yeah.
Solid. That's a solid dog you got, man.
Yeah, no, she's like a little tank.
Yeah, a little fire hydrant.
Yeah.
Feels like dog's made of, like, doesn't it feel like pit bulls have a higher density somehow?
Whenever I talk about her, yeah, I always describe her as like how stars are composed.
Yeah.
Like they look small, but they're very, very dense. But yeah, she's just like she can't, like she's fun and like joyous, but she doesn't understand like how, solid she is.
Yes. Yeah. It's like cement. I always feel like because Gooden Poochie's the second pit bull,
right.
You know, and my second pit bull, and she's but this dog is smaller than Dogmo was, because Dogmo had something else in her, some other kind of dog, and Gooden Poochie, I was like, there was a guy came over to like fix the internet from the, and he was like fixing it, and then he saw Gooden Poochie, he's like, oh yeah, well, that's a cool dog. I was like, yeah, she's a pit bull mix. And then he just goes, mixed with what? He goes, I grew up with those dogs. That's 100% pit bull. He said, that dog's not mixed with anything. but it made perfect sense because she's kind of shorter. She's kind of squat, but she's like cement. It really is like she's just so much heavier for her size. I cannot believe how heavy she is.
Yeah, no, like, it's like, my dog, like, looks like a bodybuilder, like, and she doesn't do anything, like, to maintain that. She just exists.
Yeah. One thing with pit bulls is they don't have, I found they don't have a lot of endurance. Like, endurance is not their strong suit. Like, they don't run, they don't run forever. Like,
no,
they make a good go of it, and then they just stop.
Yeah, no, we've been going to the dog park this week and bringing her favorite ball, and she is super excited. Even when she gets worn out, like, she's still super excited, but then you throw it, and she's kind of like, yeah, I'm done, like, but I don't want to go home yet.
Yeah, but I'm done with this portion of
it.
Yeah.
No. I'm still into it as a concept, but I'm not going to go for it.
I love it. You got a great dog. All right, buddy.
I feel pretty blessed.
Well, I appreciate this call, and it's good to hear from you.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks. Thanks for
surviving. Bye.
Christopher Sabella. Best show. Hi, best show.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the best show.
Hi, this is Carver from Eugene, Oregon.
Carver from you. We just talked to someone from Portland the previous call, so we're moving through Oregon now. What's going on?
Yeah, we're just
Carver?
A couple.
Not too much. I just got back from punk rock bowling a couple of days ago.
How was that?
It was great. Flag was definitely a big highlight. I've wanted to see those guys my whole life, so that was pretty great.
That was where, in Las Vegas?
It was in Vegas, that's right.
And did you see Effed Up?
I did, and I'm a big fan of that podcast too, so that was great.
That's cool. I saw that they were there. They're great. So Flag is what now? That's Greg Ginn.
It's everybody but Greg Ginn.
It's everybody but Greg Ginn. So it's Dez. Robo.
It was Bill Stevenson.
Bill Stevenson, okay. Chuck?
Yes.
So it's Dez, Bill Stevenson, Chuck, and who's singing? Ron?
No, I got to see them. I saw Greg Ginn with Ron a couple of years ago.
So Greg Ginn's with Ron. So then who is it? Keith?
It was Keith.
Okay, that's so it's a four piece. That's prime. I like the Black Flag. When you ever hear those song, the session they did when they were a five piece
with Chuck Biscuits, yeah.
Yeah, it's floating around online. That's some heavy stuff, man. Could you imagine them as a five piece if they would have stuck with that?
It was amazing. Yeah, there's.
Would have been like Molly Hatchet, but a hardcore. So, well, that's good. You went there. So what else is going on, my friend?
That was pretty much it. I was talking with my friend while we were watching Flag that, Greg Ginn is kind of like George Lucas.
Uh huh. Yeah.
In that.
Okay.
It's like they make a thing that everybody thinks is great. But then later, you realize that, like, why they thought it was great is not the reason that everybody else thought it was great.
Hmm.
And you have to kind of, like, so the guys in Flag have to kind of take it back. And just like the people had to take away Star Wars from George Lucas because they were geniuses, but then they just really went off a weird, I don't know.
But look at this, with Star Wars. First of all, we all got to stop with Star Wars. Some point. We all got to stop. Right? We got to stop.
That's true.
We got to stop. What, are they going to build another Death Star in this new movie? I saw the thing. The Death Star's in it again. The broken Death Star. Like when the trailer for this new one. Oh, there's the Death Star again. Boy, this Empire, for all their innovation, they seem to only have one go-to move. Some sort of Death Star. They sure seem to be all in on Death Stars. So.
Yeah, I have not, yeah.
But this is the thing with George Lucas. He took nothing and turned it into something. He made the thing.
That's just like Greg Ginn with Black Flag.
But the thing is, there's a part of it that he gets to say what happens with it because he made it. He did. You might think it sucks.
Yeah.
But he did make it. He did create the thing. And look, those prequels are terrible. But you know what else is terrible? Return of the Jedi is terrible, and you know the other two are just good garbage. They're good fun garbage. I even think the only good one's the first one. And then the Empire Strikes Back already too moody. I think when these things got moody, they got less good. They never should have made a second one. They should have stopped with one. Then you think about where your imagination would go with that universe. Think about the things you would dream up that were out there. before you got told, nope, this is everything. We're going to show you all of it. Now that's such a boring galaxy, right? It's boring. It's a boring galaxy. Oh, a planet with ice. Oh, it's a planet with lava. Oh, it's a planet in the clouds. Oh, it's a planet. Every planet is a, what? It's so boring. Oh, and no, it's the Federation is trying to become the Rebellion, and then they're trying to get the trade thing, and they're trying, what is this, a civics class? When you watch that first movie, you think everything's just going to be a fun adventure. Next thing, you got this going, that going, we're trying to take over this and build that, and it's like I might as well play that Roller Coaster Tycoon game. But within space. It's boring. I never played Roller Coaster Tycoon. That's from like 35 years ago. I don't even know what I'm talking about on that one. So, enough of that. We both agree that Star Wars sucks. So tell me more about Black Flag now. Gregan calls it Black Flag, but these other guys call it Flag.
And yeah, I think...
Go ahead.
I think that's all because of the contention between Greg Ginn and all the other guys, but it's like all the other guys, they didn't create it, but they do such a better version of it than Greg Ginn's doing with his, Greg Ginn's out there right now with Black Flag, but I saw the one with Ron, and now Ron is gone. It's just Greg Ginn and some other guys, and it is not good.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sure it's terrible. I agree with you.
But
I'm glad the other thing's fun, though. I'm glad because at least the other thing are people who kind of the people who did the time in the band. You know what I mean? Like it's not just like, and look, you do what you got to do. I don't care. People want to make a thing, whatever. You got these new Star Wars movies. I don't know. They are what they are. They're perfectly fine fan fiction type things. That's all it is. It's fan fiction. But you know, it's like I just have had enough. I've had enough. It's so, for something that's supposed to be so high flying, there ain't a whole lot of fun in these movies ever anymore. Nothing's fun in them. Right? What's actually fun in a Star Wars movie? What was actually fun? The last thing that was fun in one?
I mean, I would think, again, back to something like Empire Strikes Back. That's really the last time I remember.
Sure. Maybe when they went in the worm's mouth or whatever, that was fun. Right? But then they would always cut back to this thing, Luke Skywalker and Yoda, it's so boring. I remember even as a kid being like, this part sucks. Like, just feeling like, man, this part sucks. Preachy. Blah, blah, blah. The Force. Blah, blah, blah. Gotta watch a puppet pull the X-Wing out of a swamp. It's the most exciting thing that happens. All I could think of was how bad that food tasted that Yoda was making. That's all I could think about when I'm watching that as a kid. What kind of trash is that in that little pot he's making? Like, how bad is Yoda's food? But you know what I mean? Even the almighty Empire Strikes Back is so boring. It's got these huge stretches that you're just like... This is just, it's like Space Church all of a sudden.
It's been a long time. I haven't seen it in many years.
Well, don't worry about it. I'm off on my own thing. So what is something you might have for this topic? Is there a secret thing you would have, my friend, that you would do? The secret thing you'd like to do that you've never done?
Speaking of Portland, I used to live there, and I love Eugene, but maybe, I don't know, I might want to move back to Portland someday.
Okay.
Haven't really, not much of a secret.
Sure.
I've never told anyone.
And why would you want to do that? What would take you back there? Just so that it's where all the action is?
Shows, yeah. Eugene gets a lot of shows,
sure.
But definitely not as many as Portland.
What would keep you from doing it? Family?
That's true. That, me and my family can move, you know, we could relocate up there.
Man, seems like
is it more about how crowded it's gotten pretty crowded.
Yeah.
It's been a good 15 years since I lived there, and it's changed quite a bit, but still seems like every time I go there, it's different. But then again, a lot of the things still got that same atmosphere that I always loved about it. So,
mm-hmm. Well, someday. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
Best show. Hi. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. To whom am I speaking?
This is Steve in Chicago.
Steve in Chicago. I know this Steve, right?
Maybe. I bumped into you once after an Onion show.
I'm going to say I maybe don't know this Steve. I've met you, but I don't know you. What's up, Steve?
Not much. I just saw your tweet and just wanted to call in.
Yeah. Is there a thing that is a secret thing that you wish you had done or could do in your life, Steve?
Yeah, it's... I always wished I could get into coin collecting. It just always seemed like once you cross that bridge, there's, like, no turning back. So I've always been a little reluctant to do that.
Yeah. So what would you want to do? Just have one of those books that has all the coins in it?
Oh yeah, I'd want to know like all the coin artists. I want to know all the good years, all the good variants. But it just seems like too much. I barely know anything about coins as it is. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. I did a thing for a commercial at the U.S. Mint, and that was one of the most fascinating things I ever got to do. I went to the Philadelphia Mint and then the San Francisco Mint. And getting to go to both of them was so interesting.
Is there a difference? Do they make different coins in different places?
Yes, they do. There's a thing. One of them, I think, I think the San Francisco Mint is only making things that are more... I don't think they're coining currency as much there anymore, if I remember correctly. I think they might be coining things that are more like commemorative type things, if I remember correctly. Maybe I'm completely wrong on that. But in Philly, man, they were spitting out money, and there's coins all over the floor. There's coins everywhere out on the factory floor, and you just cannot pick – you cannot bring money in to – the mint when you work there. You have to check your money because you cannot have money on you when you are on premises because that you literally make money all day and you can't, then there's no argument over whether you're stealing money or not because nobody comes in or goes out with money.
But there's money just everywhere.
There's money everywhere.
Sounds like a Scrooge McDuck.
The way if you went to a woodworking shop and there would be wood shavings everywhere, there was money there. I'm not kidding you. There were just coins. Because that's what happens there. The machines are spitting coins out all day long.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, this is making me want to do it, but oh, boy, I don't know.
Why don't you dip your toe in it? Why don't you dip your toe in it? What would you do?
Probably start with, like, the dollar coins.
All right. Well, go. Why don't you go get a nice shiny dollar coin, then?
You know, I think my bank might have some.
I think you just found your new hobby.
I think so. Well, thank you so much, Tom.
All right, Steven. You have a great night. Best show, hi. Oh, they're gone.
They're gone.
Best show, hi.
Hello?
Hello, hi, best show.
Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Mike from Philly.
Mike from Philly. What's up, Mike?
Not a whole lot. I got home from a comedy show.
Tell me more.
It was great. It was a lot of fun. It was with Anna Fabrega.
Mm-hmm.
Barbega. I forget how to say her last name.
Yes. And?
And she was funny.
She's very funny, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. She's good. Where was that? The Good Good place?
It was at the Good Good place, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I appreciate that place. I saw a good show there. I saw Joe Firestone and Joe Pera and Dan Licata and Connor O'Malley all together on one night. What a show.
That's a stacked bill.
It is. So, tell me what else is going on. What, do you have something for this topic?
I do.
What do you got?
I've always wanted to be like the lead singer of a hardcore band.
You always wanted to be the lead singer of a hardcore band?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that.
Well, you know, you get to like, I think what I really want to do is do like the thing where you march around the stage and talk about a song before the song starts.
Like to say why you wrote the song?
Yeah, and like what the song means. And then they give like a little, inspiring speech beforehand.
Yeah, like I know people who do that, and they, like Damien from Effed Up, often will tell people, like he'll remind people that it's, that people can do this. This is not exclusive to, you know what I mean? Oh, why am I yawning? Oh, I'm sorry. That's so rude.
No, this is a late show. I'm sorry if I'm boring.
No, you're not. You're not boring at all. This is a good conversation. Like, Damien will say, like, that I don't have anything special. Anybody can get up here and do this stuff. And it's very, very inspiring. But he is talented, though. That's the thing.
He's a good one.
Yeah. So you want to be in a hardcore band. What would your group sound like?
I don't know. We'd probably try to be like a retro hardcore thing, you know?
Sure.
Gorilla Biscuits.
You gonna do like Gorilla Biscuits, kinda?
Yeah. Yeah.
You gonna do like hardcore versions of like TV show themes, like Fresh Prince theme?
Yeah, and like the Breaking Bad theme song.
Isn't it amazing that there was a point where people were like, what? Like, that's the song from Gilligan's Island. But they're playing it in a different style. I've never heard anything like that. It's like now we're just so jaded to everything like that. That at one point, somebody doing a reggae version of Stairway to Heaven would make people's heads explode. But, you know, why don't you do it? Why don't you form a band then? Or just jump in. You got a friend who's in a band, they let you up there once?
Yeah, I want to. I play in a band right now, but I play the drums, so it's like, you know, I don't get that like time in the spotlight.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, be the tough one up front.
Well, why don't you do the trade-off? Like, Worcester will do that sometimes. Like, he'll go up and sing at the end. You know what I mean?
Right.
Can somebody else hold it down while you get to do a song?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe, yeah. I can, yeah. You know, I'll get up there.
You got to do it. You got to try it at least once.
Yeah.
All right. Well, buddy, thanks for the call.
Of course, Tom. Thanks.
You have a grand evening.
You do the same.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
These are nice calls.
Should we keep going? Where are we at? Oh, another call. Another call. We're winding down, though. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Michelle from Sea Caucus.
Michelle from Sea Caucus.
Yes.
Do I know this Michelle?
Yeah, you know this Michelle.
Is this a famous Michelle?
Semi, yes. Sure.
Did I see you the other night?
Yes, we ran into each other. Yes. And I would like to publicly announce that you paid a debt.
Thank you. This is what I wanted. This is Michelle, the Oreo head.
Yes.
The fan of the Oreo cookie, the best show touchstone to the Oreo cookie community. And I
the
owed
cookie
money.
Correspondent.
Yes, the cookie correspondent. I owed money for a package for some Oreos I told you to buy. I told you to buy them for research for show purposes. And then I never paid you back, and it was embarrassing, and it bothered me, and I forgot to do it, and then I would get more embarrassed, and then I forgot again, and it just got worse and worse until finally we were face-to-face at the final episode of the special starring Brent Davis, and it was his farewell thing. Brett Douglas is done with his show now, and he did a great job, and I salute. It was a proud moment for me because Brent started calling in this show when he was in high school. Did you know that, Michelle?
I've heard that. Yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah, this is where he got his start. And then
look at him now.
Look at him now, and he got out though. He got out. He got out. He's not doing that show no more. He escaped. Maybe I stayed too long here, huh? What do you think? Did I?
No, I think you need to keep going.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, who else is going to publicly... else am I going to speak to publicly about the Oreos? Like, that's one reason to stay around, you know?
Yeah, man, I don't know.
No, you're doing good work, Tom.
All right, I guess I'll agree with you, Michelle. I'm doing good work. So tell me now. So then I run into you at this final taping, the final Brent Douglas taping, and and I say to you right now, I'm going to pay you the Venmo right now in front of you. And what did I do? You said it was $30 I owed you.
Yeah.
So what did I give you?
You gave me $50, yeah, Tom, right. Which that's is right. Too much money.
No, that was the penalty. That was my penalty.
I mean, you have a very good interest rate for me.
Yeah, like mob rates. Like that's how the mob operates.
That's like, yeah.
You ever hear when they always talk about the VIG in these mob movies, right? They're always like, you got to pay the VIG. What's the VIG? What is that?
I guess that's me in this situation.
Yeah. You got to pay the VIG, but I paid it. So
you did.
Yes. So were you sad watching the final Brent Davis taping?
Yeah, Brent Daniels was really funny. He made me laugh, he made me cry, he made me laugh some more. Then all those other funny comedians came out. You know, it was really beautiful. It was a beautiful experience to have witnessed live.
It really was. And there's one person that I saw, my friend Mary Houlihan, of course, and that is somebody who I think is just the top shelf, Mary Houlihan.
Oh, yeah. She rocks. She's funny.
Yeah.
There was somebody else really funny there, too, though. Well, actually, two people, but there was one superstar who really stood out.
Who's that?
APMike.bandcamp.com.
I want to say this. AP Mike did a thing on the show, on the Brent Davis show, where he came out and he had his sunglasses on, these sunglasses, and he had to... And he did this thing where he just went to the character that the John Gentle character that
that Brent was playing. And he goes and he's like, and he's got a certain style of performing where he leans back a little bit. And then he just talks, and he talks in this flat, commanding way that I think is truly compelling. I love it. And he thinks I'm making fun of him. I'm not. I love it. I think he's actually got his own acting style. He was funny, and then Pat Byrne was funny also.
He was, but, you know, no offense to Pat, but Mike just came in right after Pat, and he stole the show. As soon as I saw those sunglasses and that black T-shirt and that pronounced stance, mm-hmm. I lost it.
You lost it, yes. You know who also was funny was Sally Burtnick.
She was very funny as Baron Trump.
Yes, yes, she was very funny. I liked the whole thing, and I was very exciting to watch it, them go out on a high note. So, Michelle, though, what is something? Do you have something for this topic?
I do.
What?
A little
what,
crazy, yeah? But...
What do you have?
So, my secret, my secret, I guess, not fantasy, but whatever the topic is. The topic wording is I would really like to do a Tom Prussian, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course you can do so. That's an impression of me, because we did a show called Tom Prussians where people called and did their best impressions of me, and I liked it so much. I loved it. So you have one.
Yeah, is it okay if I sneak it in?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, here it goes. Toronto's so cold. The pizza sucks. Oh, Mike, I bet he didn't put the cap back on the peanut butter pretzels the right way. I bet they're stale. That's it.
All right. No, I like that. That was funny. That was good. I don't know if I ever complained how cold Toronto was, to be fair. Because it's pretty much as cold as it is here in the winter. But I will say,
I mean, I thought I heard some complaints.
Yeah,
you're
right. But I was outside. They left me outside.
You were outside a lot.
There's a certain whininess you have in your thing that I hope I don't have. I hope I don't have that. Toronto's so cold. So. There really is it whiny? Does that whininess, is that really there?
I mean, it comes.
And if it is, it's
sometimes.
Okay. It's okay.
Just sometimes. It's not all the time, but I just wanted to differentiate myself from the other Tom Prussian.
Sure.
So that's, you know, like Mike leans back and he does that voice. Like, uh-huh. I make it whiny.
Okay, that's fine.
That's,
look,
that's my take.
Michelle, I liked it. It was
okay. Am I allowed
good.
To call back in again?
Of course. You call in
anytime okay.
you want.
I was really sweating that
oh,
one out.
Stop. Stop. I'm starting to realize you're more of a performer than I thought now. I'm starting to realize. I'm starting to realize you pretend that you're just this like meek Oreo fan. But now here comes the Tom Prussian, and you're at the Brent Douglas show. You seem to be everywhere.
You know, I'm everywhere and I'm nowhere.
You're an influencer. You're an influencer.
Tell that to the people at Nabisco.
You'd end up on you would have been on the Fyre Fest with a box full of Oreos, selling them. You would have been selling Oreo cookies for $30 a cookie.
I probably would have. People probably would have bought them, too.
It would have been your video.
And I would have given away the gross flavors.
Yeah, you would have been like, hey, guys, I'm getting ready to go to the Fyre Fest. It's going to be pretty sweet. We have our own house. And I'm going to be working the Oreo cabana. And I'm bringing down some special Oreos just for the occasion. Like, your video is getting on the plane. Then you're on the bus.
Yeah, my Instagram live, of course.
Yes. And you're on the bus. You're like, this is a little different than I thought it was going to be. And then you go into one of those FEMA tents. You're just like, this can't be where we're staying. No. Where's the Oreo cabana? And then it's just you later selling key lime pie Oreos for $30 a cookie.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. All right, Michelle.
No, the key lime pie ones are good. I would probably just sell people plain Oreos or, like, mint Oreos or something.
You don't like mint Oreos?
They're just so boring.
Well, they're classic.
Wait, I have to say something, though. I'm going to sneak this in, too. So they just came out with fudge-covered mint Oreos, and they kind of taste like Thin Mints, but they're, like, thick mints because they're, like, a fatter cookie. Those are really good. I will say that.
Yeah, so they're basically knocking the Girl Scouts out by coming
out. Oh, yeah, they're totally ripping them off, but they have, like, it's, like, three Thin Mints in one cookie, so they have that going for them. It's pretty good.
It's a mint Oreo cookie covered in fudge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those would be worth like $50 at Firefest. Those are premium.
No, because those would actually fill you up.
Yeah, those might have protein in them.
Yes. They might. They might have protein in them.
Yeah. They would. Yeah.
All right, Michelle. Thank you for the call, as always.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Slowly but surely becoming one of my favorite callers. It's funny how it adds up like that, huh? Beginning of the show, I played, in the sound collage, played some Rocky Erickson, because he passed away, and he is, when you talk about legends and geniuses, it gets thrown around, but that guy is as real as it gets in terms of being amazing and a genius, and just if you don't know his music, go listen to it somewhere. It's everywhere now, and people are putting playlists together, and yeah, and all you can hope for, I said it online, but it's like he had so many problems with mental illness, and he got some help as his life went on, and he seemed to be in an okay place, and that is literally all you can wish for somebody who goes through the trauma of mental illness, is for them to come out the other side in some form. So he did, and it was a gift that he stayed around and still made music and toured and played live and was amazing, and that voice was still as powerful for a long, long time. And, he was a sweet soul, and yeah, he's just the best. And you listen to his music, 'cause we're all lucky that somebody like that, walked where we walk. And I'm going to play something, my favorite song by him, and I will see you later. It is You Don't Love Me Yet by Rocky Erickson. Best show back next week. Thanks. Oh my God, it's supposed to be a tribute. And thing didn't play. Can you believe that? What a slap in the face. Can you believe? Oh my God. I'm trying to do a thing. I talk this thing up and I play it and then the thing doesn't play. Can you believe in that moment the slap in the face to this guy? Oh, Rocky.
Lightning never strikes anymore. But I can't make it rain, because you're an only lightning again. Lightning never strikes anymore.